Welcome to another program of Heart and Soul, playing the music of the church throughout the ages, from ancient modern hymns to songs of praise and worship from the early days to the songs of today. Heart and Soul comes to you each week with a Bible message also to encourage and challenge you. Now, here is your host for today's program, Jan Baker.
Welcome once again to Heart and Soul. We'll have a few words from the Reverend David Evans on what it means to be pure in heart. But first up, it's that favourite hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. His name should be called Wonderful, one of the hymns of the praise gathering. This is Heart and Soul, and coming up, we'll have the BBC Welsh Choir with a traditional O for a Closer Walk with God.
Oh, sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first toils and snares we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
The wonderful voice of John McNally with a beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace.
This is Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Now for the personal favourite of my dear mum, it's Peace in the Valley.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go on till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh yes, where the morning's so bright and the Lamb is the light, and the night it is fair as the day. Oh yes,
there will be peace in the valley for me. Sadness, no sorrow,
oh, my Lord,
no trouble I
Something Beautiful, the Don Marsh Orchestra and Chorus. And now let's go to Britain for I Will Seek Your Face.
I will seek your face, O Lord. 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 I will seek your face, O Lord.
Lord, how awesome is your presence. Can stand in your light. Those who by your grace and mercy are made holy in your sight.
I will seek your face, O Lord.
Days of my life, there to gaze upon your glory and to worship only you.
People have come to see that what Jesus Christ said about life is right. He talked about things that really matter. He said there's more to our life than the things we own. Many people have found that's true. Money and possessions don't guarantee happiness. He encouraged us to trust God's care, even when the going gets tough. And millions of people have found hope, even in the face of sickness and death. He said we'd find the greatest meaning in life by living for others, and he showed us what this means by his own life. He backed up everything he said with action. He talked about forgiveness and a new relationship with God, and he gave up his life on a cross to make this possible for us. That's why what he said is so important. You can really count on it.
The Australian Karen Beckett with Graham Kendrick's song from a CD called Kendrick Down Under. In a moment we'll hear from our speaker, but first a song from John and Anna Barber, Hear My Prayer.
Hear ends of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. And Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings.
Our speaker today is the Reverend David Evans.
Is it possible that there is such a condition as being pure in heart? Certainly it seems so, because one of the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke of that day in the Sermon on the Mount was in Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, the unsaved person, that is, the person who has never found Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour, is not really interested in the Beatitudes because they convict him of sin. He has no use for the first Beatitude because it leads him to admit that he is helpless. And as if this were not enough, Jesus tells him in the second and third Beatitudes that he must be sorry for his sins and that he must let Christ control his life. But this is not all. The unsaved person finds in the fourth Beatitude that the goal of his life must be changed. He must no longer hunger and thirst after wealth, prestige, and power. They may very well come into his life, but he is not to hunger after them. Instead, he must hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, this way of life results in his being merciful in dealing with others. The Beatitudes are not well received by the unsaved person who is not interested in the demands of Christian discipleship. But there is another Beatitude that is of great interest. It's the sixth one, and it's no more popular than the first five. It demands a tray often thought to be old-fashioned, and that is the tray of purity. In this age of playboy philosophy and new morality, purity is often thought to be out of place. God is known only through the heart cleansing of the Holy Spirit, and that's something we need to know. And no doubt this beatitude of purity of heart reminded Jesus' listeners of the Oriental custom of preparing for a king's visit. Well, you may have seen the preparation for the Queen's visit here to Australia in times gone by. The streets of the city through which the king or the queen was to pass were carefully cleansed and prepared for the visit. Only those who took part in the clean-up campaign were allowed to gaze upon their king as he passed their way. Now, Jesus indicates in this beatitude that God demands an internal cleansing. Emphasis is not to be placed on external whitewashing, but on internal spirit cleansing. On one occasion, Jesus spoke of the Pharisees and likened them to a whited sepulchre. He said on the outside it was all white and seemingly pure, but inside it was full of dead men's bones. Salvation is not a second-hand matter. The daughter of a prominent minister found Jesus Christ at a Billy Graham crusade. "The only religion I have ever known," she said, "is an inherited religion. Many who are travelling on the spiritual momentum of righteous ancestors have not yet awakened to the fact that God demands an individual cleansing of the heart." I heard an interesting saying not long ago, and it went like this: God has no grandsons. That's an interesting thought. It simply means this: God only has sons, sons and daughters of the living God, who come to him personally, intimately, and individually to find him as Lord and Saviour. And just because your father or your mother is a dedicated Christian and maybe have lived all of their lives in a righteous relationship with the Lord has no meaning if you, in your own personal life, have never made that same commitment to him. When a person is saved, he or she experiences this inward cleansing. It's called the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, then one truly becomes pure in heart. This beatitude speaks of the new birth. John 3 and verse 3 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Being born again means being born from above. It means that the old life is no longer in control, but that a new life, a new operation has taken place in your life, and that is called the new birth. And that new birth leads to you who find it to be called a new creation. "I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand," says the song. And Paul has said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become or are becoming new in your life when you're genuinely converted to Jesus Christ. Then purity of heart is the prerequisite for entrance into heaven. Bible says, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." And the Bible also says, "He that has clean hands and a pure heart will stand in God's presence." The second major thing that we discover is that Jesus Christ demands a cleansing of the heart because sin is basically a disease of the heart. The scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day acted religious without being religious. They extracted 1,200 rules and regulations from just one of the Ten Commandments. What a burden that is! And they even went so far as to forbid the eating of eggs laid on the Sabbath day. A woman was forbidden to look in a mirror on the Sabbath because she might see a grey hair and pluck it out. A man was forbidden to use his cane on the Sabbath for fear that dragging his cane in the dust might constitute ploughing. The modern counterpart of the Pharisees is the person who says, "If I do good, I will be good." Well, what a burden that was. And Paul the Apostle, when writing to, or rather speaking to the Christian church in Jerusalem over the Gentiles coming into the faith, said, "How can we put upon these people things which even we and our fathers found so grievous to bear?" The things that God had said were not grievous to bear. It was what man did with what God had said and added to it, the little laws, the Pharisaical things that made life so miserable for those that were living and trying to please God through keeping the law. The heart must be cleansed before the life can be cleansed. David's life was cleansed only when he asked of God after his sin with Bathsheba, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You can read all about that in Psalm 51. A person's actions are changed when his heart is changed. Character is not the result of conduct. Conduct is the result of character. We look at a person and something they do, and we judge them and sum them up on the basis of what we see them do. Even if it is only an isolated incident of error, we immediately sum up a person's character. But as I said before, character is not the result of conduct. Conduct is the result of character. Martin Luther was fond of saying, "Good pious works do not produce good pious men, but good pious men produce good pious works." Our Lord had much to say about the need for cleansing the heart to cleanse the life. Well, how does one become pure in heart? Well, firstly, the Holy Spirit enlightens the eyes of the heart, and God, who commands the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. It's a work, firstly and foremostly, of the Holy Spirit to bring us to purity of heart. On the other hand, sin darkens the eyes of the heart. When Jesus comes into the heart, the Holy Spirit is allowed to do his cleansing work. Everything that God leads us into is designed to bring us to a greater purity in him. Okay, so the promise of this beatitude is consummated in the future. Tennyson in later years asked his son, the executor of his estate, to see that the publishers of his poems placed "Crossing the Bar" at the end of the book. When asked on one occasion to reveal his dearest wish, he said, "My dearest wish is to have a clearer vision of God." It is no wonder, then, that these are the last words of his poem. This is it. "For though from out our bourne of time and place the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar." The pure in heart will someday see their pilot, the Lord Jesus, face to face. If you want to experience that touch of purity in your life, the purity of heaven, you do that by first starting out and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Saviour, your personal Saviour, and come into your heart and life. And when he does that, the Holy Spirit will come and begin the process of making your heart pure before the Lord. Enter in today. If you feel unclean, you can feel clean immediately by asking Jesus to come and be your Saviour and Lord. May God help you to discover that, is my prayer this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.
yes, the Treorchy Male Choir. Words from the 19th century, but a tune from Vaughan Williams for All the Saints. We've got more on Heart and Soul, so stay tuned. And now a hymn we all know, missing from the modern hymn books, thought to be a bit too lightweight, but still very popular with many people. It's called All Things Bright and Beautiful.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, He made their glowing colors, He made the tiny wings.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
The purple-headed mountain, the river running by, the sunset and the morning that brightens up the sky.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small,
tall trees in the greenwood, the meadows where we play, the rushes by the water we gather every day.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small,
eyes to see them, and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty, who has made all things well. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
This is my story, this is my song.
Blessed Assurance. That's a famous hymn written by Fanny Crosby. This is Heart and Soul, and we're bringing you the music of the church throughout the ages. So we need to include some music for more recent times.
This is Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Faithful God.
Faithful God from the Resource Christian Music Series. That was from the 25th CD released in 1997, entitled Light of the World. Our speaker today was the Reverend David Evans.
If you wish to contact us, our email is heartandsoulmusic@bigpond.com. That's heartandsoulmusic@bigpond.com. We've enjoyed bringing you the music of the church throughout the ages. May God richly bless you.